This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Monday, Dave bailed on the show. We have reached Friday, and now Rick has gone AWOL. Off and running, and welcome in to DPHRO and Rothenberg, which is not only the title name of the show, it also happens to be a list of people who will not be appearing on the show. On this Friday, July 1st, it is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. We've made it to July, we've made it to the weekend, and we have made it to NBA free agency. But as I said, Dave gone, Rick could not possibly take me for another day. But luckily, against his best judgment, Dan Grasso set the alarm clock this morning, and he is up with us on this Friday. Good morning, Dan. How are we feeling, my friend?
Oh, good morning, good morning. Now, is that confirmed that Rick just couldn't take it for another day, and that's why he bailed on the show today?
Well, look, it's NBA free agency maybe playing a part in my brain where, you know, you got to read the tea leaves, you got to see, read the smoke signals. No one has said that to me specifically. No one said that to my face. But just spending the last 4 days with Rick, I could see, and this is not, you know, Rick is not the first person to have this happen. They just couldn't take me anymore. And so they just bail on his own show because he just couldn't take it.
But
it was surprising nonetheless, right? I mean, in these cases, it's somewhat surprising when that happens. I mean, because I'm just trying to tie it to NBA free agency, of course.
Yeah, no, you know, it was not Kevin Durant news. It was not, you know, it was not one of these. It was much more Jalen Brunson than Kevin Durant. Let me put it that way, right? It was much more, you could see this one coming from a couple of miles away as opposed to, wow, what a shot. Rick doesn't want to come in and work with me again. We had such a good time together. No, he bailed.
He probably just wanted the extra nice little day in the holiday weekend. Do you believe it's July? Like, we are now technically in the second half of the calendar year. Second half of the year. There's football training camp that opens later this month. It doesn't feel like July to me yet. I can't believe we're here.
Well, I always say, when you're a kid, July 4th, start of the summer. July 4th hits, and that's like, wow, the whole summer is in front of us. We got the hot days are here. Nothing but good times ahead. When you're an adult, July 4th, you blink your eyes, and the next thing you know, it's Labor Day.
So that's a fair point.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And look, you got the football. That's the nice thing is you got your football. You know, when you stop worrying about having to go to school, September is an unbelievable month. But that's for another day. Right now,
yes,
we're smack dab in the middle of NBA free agency. We got a lot of stuff to do. Yankees lost the Astros last night. It's a Friday. So we'll have the morning roast. RJ was asking me, do we still want to do it? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. This is right up my alley. I do this when I'm playing the at-home version of DPHRO and Rothenberg. So yeah. Why wouldn't I do it when I'm actually on the show?
You live for this. Live for this.
Absolutely.
By the way, last night feel weird to you in any way? Like, you mentioned the Yankees. Like, the 6 o'clock start, you know, with all this NBA free agency stuff that was swirling, it seemed like a weird kind of night. Maybe knowing that I had to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning the next day, maybe it had something
That'll
to do with
it,
but seemed a little off, did it not?
It did, because the Yankee game also, it seemed like it flew by. You know, nobody scoring any runs. It was over very quickly, and that's a very strange experience when you're doing this show because, you know, you have to stay up kind of late to watch the end of the games. I don't remember exactly what time the game ended last night, but it was over pretty fast. Yankees helping out by not scoring any runs. That helped. Yeah, that did help. But it was still somewhat light out, too.
It was still somewhat light out when the game ended, right? By like around 9 o'clock, it's not 100% pitch black yet, which is great. And, you know, but yeah. And I mean, when nobody gets any hits, game flies by, bim, bam, boom, game's over, and then they leave. It's just all, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but it was just so odd, you know, going down there. I mean, at least Houston they get to stay home. You know, they're welcoming in, I think, the Angels for another series here. Yankees, it's like they fly up, they play one game, and then boom, they're gone to another city. That's got to weigh on you, I think, mentally a little bit. I know these guys make a ton of money, but it just seems odd. Like, you don't unpack the suitcase, you're there for one day, and then goodbye, see ya.
And the reason why it's only one game is because this was one of the makeup games from the lockout. So they had to reschedule them sometime else. And you would have thought, like, Major League Baseball, they have all these people, they have all these computers. You know what? Let's find the maximum way that we can reschedule these games so it's not as big a pain in the neck. No. Day off there. They'll just play one. Just put one in there, and then we'll put two someplace else, and then we'll be good to go. We'll be fine.
And they're playing the doubleheader on that Thursday.
Yeah.
After the All-Star break, which in all of there's four games that day, like across Major League Baseball. Like, you know, the players, like, they fought hard. That's a day off. You know, remember when we were kids, like, you'd actually have games on that day sometimes. Now it's like, God forbid, you have to have the full week off. You got to start again on Friday. But no, this year, because of all the screwiness of the offseason, four games that day, and the Yanks will play two of them.
And the Yankees are not – the only time the Yankees have had off basically in, like, the last month and a half is July 4th. Not playing on July 4th. That day we're not playing. Every other day we're playing fine. We're not going to squeeze one in on July 4th.
That'll can't do it. Off.
No,
cannot do it. Because Monday's a big off day for baseball. That's why.
Yeah, but. Right. When everybody else is off, right, July 4th, don't want to have any baseball that time. Let's give everybody off. Right.
Wait, are the Blue Jays home on July 4th? That always cracks me up. The Blue Jays are on the road. Because there were times, like, I remember one year, like, the Mets went up to Toronto, played a game in Toronto on an American holiday, and the Blue Jays were one of the home teams that day. That cracked me up. I forgot what year that was, but that was a thing. It happened.
Well, you know, they can't really be focused on it too much. They're too worried about these robo-umps. You know, they got to get that whole system down in a couple of years, so that's what the focus is.
That'll be a scene, baby. Oh, that'll be a scene.
Well, look, yesterday was a big day because yesterday was the anniversary of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving agreeing to go to Brooklyn, and it was also the start of NBA free agency, which just tied in perfectly together. Because you get the news yesterday from Woj that Kevin Durant wants the trade. He wants out of Brooklyn, and he has requested the trade. And it almost, Dan, to me, it almost felt like a season finale to a TV show, right? It had a shocking plot twist. It's been a story we've been following along this entire time. And it has essentially closed the book on this part of the story, but at the same time, left us with, like, a cliffhanger. It's like Breaking Bad. The dynamic duo who has put the story in place here for the last 3 years of the Brooklyn Nets. Boy, they wrapped up the story, and they did so with a bang. Wow, what can we just, before we get into everything, and we'll get into it all today, about where Kevin Durant's going to go, where does it make the most sense, how much can they get for him, can we just take a second to have a conversation of the true appreciation of what a dumpster fire this turned out to be?
It's one of the biggest calamities, maybe the biggest calamities in modern team sports, right? One of the most underachieving, biggest failures, you know, not living up to the hype, you name it. That's what Brooklyn was for the last 3 years. I mean, everybody jokes about how, you know, Harden, Kyrie, KD, they played 16 games or whatever it was, the three of them. But even if you didn't think they would win a championship, Gordon, like, even if you didn't think they would scale the heights and get to the top of the mountain, you didn't expect just the absolute little lack of production that this franchise was able to produce during this time period. One lousy, stinking playoff series. Think about the old man Celtics trade that they made once upon a time. Bringing in those guys from the Celtics, they experienced more success than this group did. And that's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, what an absolute, like, if you would have had a time machine, where on the day that, or let me put it this way, if on the day the Nets made the announcement, and Woj made the announcement, whoever made the announcement, KD and Kyrie, they're teaming up, they're joining forces, they're going to Brooklyn. And you were doing a show that day, and right, you took calls at 1-800-919-ESPN. And someone had the gall to call up and say, you know what? I think in 3 years, these guys not only won't win a championship, they'll only win one playoff series. You would laugh that person off the phone line. You would mock that person for the next hour of your show. It would be ridiculous to think that with that dynamic duo, teaming up with everybody looking to join them in Brooklyn to ride the coattails, that they won one playoff series. And not only won one playoff series, you know, because they don't have any loyalty to Brooklyn. They have taken what they could from the organization and left it as a smoking pile of just wreckage on right. the way out the door. It really is impressive. We'll be talking about this for years to come.
There's going to be movies, there's going to be books written, there's going to be songs written, everything that you could possibly drum up about this team and what they went through the last 3 years. How about Kevin Durant? Here's Durant. And I mean, obviously Kyrie's the easy target. You talk about him. Here's Durant, right? Signs the three, he gets signs up for the 3 years. The first year is essentially the Nets paying him millions and millions of dollars to redshirt and to rehab. It was a rehab year because he knew he wasn't going to play.
Yep. All right.
So he was a Net for 3 years, but the 1 year didn't even touch the floor. So really, he got 2 seasons out of it. Then he actually signs and commits again last year for the 4 year max contract, whatever it is. Hey, I'm committed to Brooklyn. I'm all in, blah, 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 blah. Isn't it ironic that he will not even have played a game for the Brooklyn Nets when that new 4 year contract kicks in? Like, you can't make this up. You couldn't make it up in a million years. And you know what a couple of people were telling me yesterday and tweeting and this and that? And they said, well, you know what? If they went to the Knicks, none of this would have happened. Oh, no. See, to me, this is where the Knicks actually dodge a bullet here, because you can't tell me, Gordon, with the principals involved, especially with Kyrie being the ringleader, that the same disaster would not have fallen on the Knicks' plate, exactly what happened in Brooklyn.
Oh, absolutely. I don't see any reason why the team really matters all that much, because at the end of the day, if you were going to get these guys, one of the stipulations, whether it was spoken or unspoken, was that you were turning over your organization to them.
Yep.
Right? These guys weren't going to the Miami Heat because they didn't want to have to deal with someone else telling them that, you know, this or that, or having a say in who the coach is going to be or what moves. These guys wanted to run the show. So anywhere they were going to go, this maybe not exactly the same way, because maybe the other organizations would have put their foot down at some point along the way. But no, this same thing would have absolutely happened no matter where they went. It was almost like written in the stars that this was the way it was going to kind of play out.
We were talking about it before the show last night at the Barclays Center, the Liberty are playing, and who's sitting there courtside? Ben Simmons. And like, we were wondering aloud, like, what is Ben Simmons thinking right now? I mean, not that I'm not trying to imply that, like, you know, woe is me for Ben Simmons, because I mean, Ben Simmons has stolen more money over the last couple of years than maybe any professional athlete in sports. But like, do you think Ben Simmons actually has a feel or has a care in the world about what is now potentially taking shape with this franchise, that he's essentially that Will Smith meme from The Fresh Prince where he's in the living room all by himself and the furniture's gone and nothing is left and it's just Ben Simmons? Do you think he cares at all?
I saw the funniest headline about Ben Simmons, and it came from the New York Post. This, if you see this headline today pop up on your Twitter feed, you will at the very least smile and possibly just guffaw for the next 5 minutes. The headline was, Ben Simmons, now key to the Nets rebuild. I don't know what Sean Marks is going to do. I don't know how the new plan will take shape. If Ben Simmons is actually the key to the Nets rebuild, wow, they're in real, real trouble.
And you know, not for nothing, a lot was made, remember, over the last month with the whole Charles Barkley thing with Kevin Durant about, you know, well, KD's never been the bus driver before. He's never driven the bus on a team that won a championship. Is he going to be the one driving the bus out of Brooklyn to whatever city and whatever team he's going to go to next? And here's what's great about KD. You know, for a guy who is, let's be honest, he's an extremely talented player. You want to say all-time great, but he's probably one of the top 20 players to ever step on a basketball court in the history of the game. Nobody is disputing that. But it's amazing that Kevin Durant, who's a guy who likes to move from place to place, who already pulled this once. Remember, he left Oklahoma City to join Golden State. And yes, he won a couple of championships, played great and all those things, but he kind of chased the ring there. Now he's going to pull the same thing to leave Brooklyn, except this time he leaves Brooklyn and the task is unfulfilled. For a guy as great as Durant, who wants to remind you as great as he is, whether it's legitimately with his own Twitter account or burner accounts or whatever it is, isn't it funny that now we're hearing the places he maybe wants to take up shop next, Gordon, is Phoenix, maybe Miami, the two teams that have the best records in their respective conferences. I mean, you know what? If you're as great as Kevin Durant and you're all about legacy and you want to remind people how great you are and cement yourself as an all-time great and an immortal, how about saying, you know what? Maybe I'll go to Sacramento. I'll drive the bus to Sacramento. If you make a winner out of Sacramento, then nobody could say anything about you. How about the challenge of doing that? Because you know what? Remember, it was 20 years ago. You think Jason Kidd wanted to come to the New Jersey Nets? The New Jersey Nets were probably 10 times more the laughingstock than they're going to be once all of this maneuvering is done. Yet Jason Kidd went to the New Jersey Nets and took that team to the NBA Finals on back-to-back occasions. You think Kevin Durant would ever embrace a challenge like that? I sure as hell don't think so.
No. Well, look, I think that there is actually a better chance of Ben Simmons being the key to the Nets rebuild than Kevin Durant saying, you know what, let me go somewhere like Sacramento. Because, again, you know, father time comes for all of us. The clock is ticking on. I mean, the guy's 33 years old already.
I'm done.
He's already dealt with one serious injury in the Achilles. He's missed a bunch of time this past year, right? Before he gets hurt, Nets are sitting there on Christmas Day, first place in the East, everything going according to plan, and then he goes down and the whole ship goes down with him.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, well, Kevin Durant's not going to be getting a lot of sleep then because he's getting out of town as fast as humanly possible. It is Dan Grosse. I am Gordon Damer, filling in for DiPietro and Rothenberg here on 98.7 FM ESPN New York. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. We're talking, obviously, about the big news yesterday that comes down that Kevin Durant is requested a trade, and it looks like it will happen. And now, you know, we got to fill in so many of the other pieces here about where is he going to go? What can the Nets get back for him?
Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you?
Yeah, why? I asked you there before the break there, Dan, about who do you blame the most? Look, when there's a situation that is as epic, like as the kids say, an epic fail, yeah. This is an epic fail. The Brooklyn experiment was an epic fail.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Who do you think deserves the most blame? Obviously, everybody's going to get a certain part of the pie, but who gets the dad slice? Who gets like the big old huge slice of pie that is the blame for the Brooklyn Nets?
For the Nets situation themselves, like it's funny because not that they have any care in the world over how things unfolded, but like I looked at Durant. And I still can't get over the fact that he left a situation in Golden State, which probably would have produced more winning, maybe even more titles, to hitch his ride to Kyrie Irving. Like, the fact that he would do that was a big contributing factor here, because then the Nets went along with it. Because I think the Nets, more than anything, it was more about getting KD. And the fact that, okay, Kyrie is going to come along as well, great, more the better. And they could overlook whatever sort of deficiencies and flaws, because remember, when Kyrie was in Boston, he wasn't exactly, you know, the model employee, if you will. No, remember,
not generally.
Exactly. I mean, there was some dysfunction and stuff. I mean, I heard things up there that, you know, wasn't exactly the easiest guy to deal with. And as you saw, the Celtics didn't have the success when he was there, shockingly enough. And then they go to the NBA Finals when he's gone. So I think that that's part of it. You know, if you want to sit here and point the finger at Sean Marks because he's the general manager, well, that's great. But like, Sean Marks is an executive in the NBA. Like, what has he won? You know? Don't tell me that, like, he grew up in the Spurs organization and was part of an organization that won titles in San Antonio. Yeah, but, like, he wasn't, like, a chief decision maker. As the guy who's actually calling the shots, what has he won? So, point is, he had to get the green light from ownership. And whether that's Joe Tsai, who said, yeah, that's right, I'm all in, let's go ahead and do this. But Joe Tsai's thinking, hey, I'm getting marquee all-star type talent here. Who says no? I mean, the Nets were in basketball purgatory before these guys climbed aboard. So I can't necessarily blame the management, because I think a lot of teams in their situation would have done exactly the same thing by welcoming in these stars. It was just the wrong mix of players that contributed to this thing completely dissolving.
Yeah, and look, there's a bunch of teams, according to Woj, half the teams in the league are looking to add Kevin Durant right now after everything has gone down. So, yeah, you could crush Nets ownership and say, oh, you know, it was obvious that this was a mistake from the start, but nobody was saying that at the time. For me, it's Kevin Durant. It's all about who had the power here, and I guess you could say that ownership ultimately had the power, but they gave the power to the superstars to make sure that the superstars came to them. So to me, it's about Kevin Durant. He wanted this to be his show. He ran the show. He ran it right into the ground. He's the guy who wanted to team up with Kyrie. He essentially vouched for him. They wanted the coach. It was Kevin Durant, his coach, his moves. You know, not to exclude everybody else, but to me, if I'm putting the pyramid in place, right at the top has to be Kevin Durant, because this was his show. That's why he came here, right? He didn't want to be known as the guy who attached himself to a 73-win team. He didn't want to be the guy that wasn't getting the proper credit playing with the Golden State Warriors. So now he's going to be a guy that's going to be playing on his fourth team in 6 years. No one ever has taken an easier path to a championship than Kevin Durant. And so for me, if I'm looking at where this went wrong, the first person I'm going to blame is the person who was pulling the strings, and that's Kevin Durant.
Where do you rank this, though? Like, you know, you brought up when he left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State, and like, he got crucified. Mm-hmm. Got crucified by everybody, you know, for taking the easy way out, as you said, chasing championships. Okay, but at least he paid it off by winning the two rings, two finals MVPs. Like, he delivered when he had to. Okay, he fulfilled the promise, whatever you want to say. But now you look at this, where not only does he go to Brooklyn and not win, he jumps ship when things are bad, leaves this team and this franchise completely like burning on the side of the road, as we talked about earlier here. Where does this rank to you compared to what he did way back when going to the Warriors, when he was routinely crucified and rightfully so?
Well, I mean, this one looks a whole lot worse. At least that one, at the time, he wanted his championships. And again, it was the easiest path. I mean, we will live to be 1,000 years old, and we will never see someone join the team that they just lost to, join a team that just won a championship, but did so in the record-setting fashion that they did. I mean, it's very hard to replicate all the different things that lined up perfectly for Kevin Durant to go to Golden State. But this one, to me, makes him look so much worse, because this was what he wanted. He got every single thing that he wanted. And when the going gets tough, Kevin Durant gets going to another team.
Right.
I mean, that much has been proven. And for it to happen one time, all right, you know what? It was just the perfect circumstance. No, now it's a trend. Now we know that this is who this guy is, that when the going gets tough, Kevin Durant wants no part of it, and I'm just going to go someplace else where it's easy to win. And as you pointed out, the teams that he wants to go to, they're the best teams in the league, right?
I mean, give me a break. You know, it's like enough is enough. Like, way to go for the sacrifice. Great job. You know, you're making it challenging on yourself, going to two teams that, you know, are championship contenders to begin with here. But, you know, it's another conversation for another day, obviously. Like, you know, today's not the day we're having this conversation, but it pops up a lot over the course of a year when we get into these, like, all-time historical debates. And, Gordon, I've said this constantly about this current crop of superstars, guys who are warranted to be included in the conversation as like all-time greats. And Durant is one of them, right?
Absolutely.
To me, whenever we're sitting there trying to slot these guys, like remember we were doing it with Curry after the Warriors won this championship, like is he top 10 all-time? Is he this? Is he that? The guys today, and I'm throwing Durant into the mix, they lose points to me, and I will subtract points every single time, whenever we're talking about ranking them all time, because of the crap that they constantly pull. Moving from team to team to team, taking the easy way out, chasing championships. You can't tell me that that doesn't hurt their cause whenever we're sitting there putting them up alongside the greats that came from previous years and previous decades when the game and the way the sport was conducted business-wise was a hell of a lot different than these guys are doing today. That hurts their appeal.
Well, if you were putting up a Wikipedia post of that topic, the picture that you would use on the Wikipedia post would be Kevin Durant.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's the poster child for that. So, at the end of the day, this is not something that you would want to be said about you, but, I mean, it does make him look like when the going gets tough, man, I can't handle it. And I'm going to – and you know what? It would be one thing if Kevin Durant had not won in Golden State, right? And he looked at the net situation and said, look, man, you know, I don't know how much time I really have left. I'm going to be 34 next season. I want to win a championship. I know this is not ideal, but I got to go. Could you get me someplace where I can finally get over the mountaintop? That's not what's happening.
No.
That's not what's happening at all. I mean, he came to this organization to build something here. It's been destroyed. I mean, the Nets are now going to be an NBA It's almost like what's the path forward for Brooklyn? They've traded away all their picks for the next 5 years. The Houston Rockets should be throwing a parade today. So if you're the Nets moving off Kevin Durant, you can't really tank because that doesn't do you any good. But you're never going to be able to get even close to fair value for Kevin Durant. So now you're screwed. The moves that you have made have absolutely screwed you moving forward. And now this guy is coming to you and requesting a trade. Oh, you know what? It's time for me to go. My work here is done.
I'll give you a comparison. Like, if you want to take another guy who's, you know, been transient over the last several years in his career, Kawhi Leonard. To me, Kawhi Leonard doesn't fall into the same category because, okay, he did what he did with the Spurs. Champion with the Spurs, finals MVP, all that stuff. And then, you know, they had a falling out there. Whatever the reason, we don't have to rehash that. They had a falling out. He put in his time. He goes to Toronto, where obviously he probably didn't want to go. That wasn't his ultimate destination, his ultimate choice. But you know what, Gordon? He was there for 1 year, and he delivered. He did everything you possibly could do as a rental player, help deliver that team their only championship. So when he left Toronto to sign with the Clippers in the middle of the night, you know, a few summers ago, I couldn't kill Kawhi Leonard like we're sitting here doing to Kevin Durant because he did what he was supposed to do and then some during his brief stop over in Toronto. He delivered him a championship. He wanted to go play someplace else, go closer to home out there on the West Coast. That's fine by me. Right. It's not
when
like
you get
he
the
left.
Job done. You get
exactly
yeah. Right. Yeah, no, there's no question. No question. All right. 1-800-919 ESPN is the telephone number. So who do you blame most for what happened? The beautiful Brooklyn experiment, which is still a heaping wreckage in these hours of smoking debris. Let's go out to Emmanuel is in Flushing. Emmanuel, you're first up on DiPietro and Rothenberg on a Friday.
Oh, man. Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Morning.
Good, how are you?
Morning, man. I don't know what to begin with, to be honest with you. I would say Sean Marks is mostly to blame because he was the one who got these guys. Number two, Kevin Durant, because everything, he didn't handle the pressure of being New York. And number three, Kyrie Irving. I mean, because I think that how he handled the situation, he handled it very well. But I will say this about the Brooklyn Nets. In 3 years, they won one playoff series, no final appearances, let alone conference finals. During that time, you have the Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, and Milwaukee Bucks, Eastern Conference champions, and the Bucks, by the way, won the title in 2021. They were supposed to be better than these three teams. That's all I'm saying. Take care, guys.
All right, Manuel. Yeah, I mean, they were supposed to – I mean, this was going to be championship central. I mean, when the news came down that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were going to the Brooklyn Nets. Oh, my God. Now, not the first year, because we all knew that Kevin Durant was not going to play that first year. That's fine. But, you know, right now I'm rewatching Breaking Bad with my son. There's a lot of similarities in that, like, every time the things that are done, in the moment, there's some rationale for the move, right? But it always makes things, there's one step forward, but there's two steps back. So, yes, we got to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but we got to give them control of the organization. We got to, you know, now here, James Harden's available, kind of makes a little bit of sense, but we got to completely mortgage the future. And at the end of the day, you're kind of left in the same kind of spot.
You know what it is? That's a great, you know, when you, because this is the second time you brought up Breaking Bad.
I love
Fantastic
Breaking Bad.
Show, yeah. Of course. Yeah. So if this version of the Nets right now is the season finale or the series finale of Breaking Bad and it's over, you know what next season's going to be Breaking Bad-wise for the Nets? It's going to be El Camino. It's going to be El Camino. Doesn't get you all really excited, right?
Then
get the juices going. It's not exactly
It's not
box
Better Call
office.
Saul. No, it's not.
No,
one of the more knockoff shows afterwards. Aftermash.
Better Call Saul is basically what Joe Johnson and Darren Williams and those guys version of the Brooklyn Nets, right?
No, it's not going to be. It's not going to be good.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
DiPietro and Rothenberg. As I mentioned at the open of the show, that is not only the name of the show, it's also a list of people who will not be appearing on the show today.
Yes.
As they are already in vacation mode. The R&R boys, as I dubbed them that back, I think it was last year, with the amount of vacation, both of them. I mean, a lot of vacation time. They both saved up, and they used it. They swung it around, Dan.
Is that a carryover vehicle?
Like, yeah, that's
carry
a carryover
over those
vehicle.
Bad boys?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now you can swing it?
If you could do that, that's great.
They're swinging the vacation time already. They're halfway through the year, but oof, boy, it's got a lot of vacay time coming up. And good for them.
Burn the candle at both ends.
I'm naked right now.
If there was ever a day to fill in and wake up at, you know, whatever time we woke up at this morning, this is the day to do it. I mean,
see, the NBA, it could bear tremendous fruits, like for what we do. You know what I mean? Like this time of year, July 1st, start of free agency and everything. But it's not like that each and every summer. Some are a little bit more tame than others. You need to have the superstar on the move. Like, of course, LeBron James has been entangled in this a couple of times, right? When he went to the Heat back in 2010, when he went back to Cleveland, hell, even when he went to the Lakers a couple of years ago, we mentioned 19 with KD, Kyrie, or whatnot. And now, like, we get a special summer again. So I just say, like, thank you, NBA. Thank you for giving us these moments that we could sit here and just absolutely salivate over. Because otherwise, I mean, it's kind of like a lull on the calendar, is it not?
A little bit. You know, when you don't have the football there, it's a little bit of a lull, right? The baseball, I mean, as good as the Yankees have been, there's not really anything that you're going to say, oh, my God, this is super pressing, right? Like, people have been trying to find something to complain about with the Yankees. Not really anything to complain about there all that much.
They could lose six in a row. It doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. Real. I mean, we know that they're going to the playoffs this year and all that kind of stuff. So the NBA offseason is always one of those banner events. And I'll be honest with you. Day one of free agency was more entertaining than the NBA postseason.
Oh, 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. Right. Because, I mean, actually, I wouldn't have mind the NBA postseason ending when it did. Because, like I said, it really was not all that captivating. This, I just wanted to keep going on and on. I love the drama. I love the rumors. I love the he said, she said. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It really is.
Yeah, you grow up.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Eli is in Washingtonville. Eli, good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning. Nice to have you back in the AM.
Yes, I love it. It's great. I'm living the dream, Eli. What do you got for me?
Listen, I want to talk about Kevin Durant. You're talking about lull. It reminds me of the Yankees offense against Houston. Anyway.
Eli has to get a shot in on the Yankees. He's got to complain about something. It's in his DNA. It's ridiculous. Go ahead, Eli. Go ahead.
Listen, when it comes to Kevin Durant, listen, I'm not a fan of this guy. I think he's one of the best players, you know, we've seen in our lifetime. And, you know, but when you guys actually crucify this guy for going to Golden State, you have to remember that LeBron James started this whole super team era. And, you know, LeBron James started making teams a super team in a depleted East. You know, he started carving his way into the finals almost every year. But when it comes to Kevin Durant, you know, he goes to a team to try to better his chances of winning. And, you know, he's hit the finals MVP two times, where LeBron James, the first time he built a super team, Dallas smacked him in the mouth. So you have to give credit to this guy. He was a finals MVP for two seasons. Now, where I do give
him... Eli, let me stop you for a second, Eli. LeBron James, though, right, didn't go to the team that was the arch rival of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Miami, Cleveland, like, they weren't necessarily button heads each and every year. Remember what happened with Oklahoma City and Golden State? Oklahoma City had a 3-1 lead in the conference finals that last year that Kevin Durant was part of the team. Then you had the whole even Draymond Green. Remember, he kicked Steven Adams in the you-know-where that series. So, like, he's punking one of Kevin Durant's teammates. They beat Oklahoma City. And then KD says that summer, hey, you know what, I'll join you guys because I want to win a championship. I can't do it here with Russell Westbrook.
Right. So he actually went to, you know, a better situation, but he proved that you can't win.
If you can't beat him, join him. That's what he proved. Right. If you can't beat him, join him.
But nobody's going to win with Westbrook. Nobody. And he proved it. Westbrook is not a guy that you can count on to take you to the next level.
Well, look, maybe Eli, if Westbrook had the chance to join Golden State, maybe we wouldn't be saying that, right? Like, it's not like Kevin Durant did something noble or brave. He just found the team that just won 73 games, a championship, beat him, and said, "Hey, I'll join you guys." And as much grief as we gave LeBron for what he did, at least he was the one that was putting that together. He didn't join a ready-made team. He built, you know, they agreed to join forces together. And look, you know, there's some criticism to be had there. But it wasn't a foregone conclusion. Hey, I'll just join the team that set the wins record and won a championship. So, yeah, maybe LeBron's thing was bad. Kevin Durant's is worse. There's no two ways around it. There's no easier way to win a championship than what Kevin Durant did.
Not even close. And remember, say this about Westbrook. When Durant left, because Durant came into the league a year earlier than Westbrook, so he was a free agent sooner, and then he took the first ship out of Oklahoma City and went to Golden State. What happened? And by the way, this was what, a year after Durant stood up there when he won the MVP and shed tears for about a half an hour, thanking everybody in the organization, including Russell Westbrook and all these other people, you're the real MVP, and, you know, pledging his undying loyalty to Oklahoma City, and then he leaves the next year. Westbrook, to his credit, Gordon, remember, when he had the opportunity to leave the next year, he signed an extension with Oklahoma City. He actually toughed it out. Now, it's not his fault that the organization crumbled and they were a small market team and then they started selling off assets because they needed to rebuild. But Westbrook at least put his pen to paper and said, I'm sticking around with Oklahoma City and I'm going to try to see this thing through.
Brian is in Milburn. Brian, you're next up on DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning. You know, I'm a big fan. I don't know what the caller was talking about just a few minutes ago.
That happens with Eli a lot.
He don't watch basketball. Okay. He is weird. First of all, they won 73 games. They had them up 3-1. You went and joined them. Everywhere he go, I don't know him as a man, and I'm not going to disrespect him and say he's soft, but it's like everywhere he goes, when it get tough, he start running. Draymond get in his face. Oh, he start running. Oh, it got hard for him at the Thunder, he started running. Now, this happened. He started running. He got to be a man and stand up sooner or later for his cause and his legacy. When is that going to start with him?
We can't legacy keep takes saying, a hit, oh, Brian. Whoa. Legacy takes a hit. I'm telling you. With these guys, if he's going to keep, you know, playing hopscotch and going to different teams, your legacy takes a hit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what? When this Brooklyn situation is getting down and dirty like it is now, how about toughening it out? You signed a contract for 4 more years, and even though it's a mess, and even though you can't rely on Kyrie, and who the hell knows when Ben Simmons is ever going to play basketball again, you're one of the best players of all time. How about toughening it out and trying to win and deliver on the promise and the commitment that you made here 3 years ago when you signed that first contract? But I guess that's too much.
Clearly. Right? I mean, now right. the going gets tough, man. As I said before, the going gets tough. KD, I got to get going. It's been fun. It's been real. And how about you know what? Another thing that cracked me up yesterday, I was telling you that Ben Simmons headline. The amount of people who said that Kevin Durant, he's really being brave by doing this. Brave?
That was Kendrick Perkins, right?
He was not the only one, yeah, but he was one of them that said, you know, this is a really brave move by Kevin Durant. I can't even remember the rationale behind it, because blood was flowing to my ears because I was busy laughing so hard and doubled over. Brave. I mean, that's the opposite. Brave is sticking around. Brave is making it work.
Right.
Like, that's one of the things that I remember Pat Riley, when it became the summer of LeBron, you know, going back to Cleveland. Pat Riley had that press conference about, you know, when the going gets tough, you got to buckle down and you can't be listening to all the other people and going off to some other place. You got to work through the troubles. And I mean, who's done more winning than Pat Riley? But I thought that was a very interesting take to see. It's like a Rorschach test where people, what do you see in the picture? Well, I see a guy being really brave because he's cutting tail as quick as he can. He's getting out of town. He's going to another situation. And here's another one that I find hysterical, that Kevin Durant, well, he wants to go to Phoenix. What the hell do I care where Kevin Durant wants to go if I'm the Brooklyn Nets? Yeah, he's signed for 4 more years. You're not a free agent. You're not going into your walk year. Now, if Phoenix is the team that can put the best offer together to kind of to get the Nets organization turned back around, okay, fine. But it's almost like, I bring up another great TV show, The Wire, where they ask Jimmy McNulty, hey, Jimmy, where do you not want to go? Because they know wherever he doesn't want to go, that's where they're going to send him. The fact that Kevin Durant wants to go to Phoenix, if I'm Sean Marks, that's the last place I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you to Minnesota or some anywhere else than rather than where you want to go after you screwed us over here.
Well, that's what the job now is for Sean Marks and the Nets. You owe it to your organization. You owe it to your fan base, whichever ones are left. And and the Nets are going to lose a lot of fans here, because you know a lot of bandwagon fans that jumped on when KD and Kyrie arrived, and now they're probably going to go back to being Knicks fans like they were initially. But they have an obligation to get the best deal in return. And, you know, all these desired places that KD wants to go, like Miami, Phoenix, if they can't provide the best return for the Nets, well, then maybe they lump in a third team. So the Nets can at least get what they want, and KD can go where he wants to go, which is a joke, we know. I have a question for you, and really for everybody listening. Do you think, and we always wonder, like, when is enough enough? Like, when is this going to change? But do you think the way the Brooklyn Nets over the last 3 years, and the way it's been such a spectacular failure, right? An oxymoron, a spectacular failure. Do you think that the rest of the league now wises up a little bit and maybe tries to steer clear of building the so-called super team around 2 or 3 stars? Not guys that you draft, like Golden State. Like, Golden State's got a big three. They drafted those 3 guys. They brought them all in through the system together. But you're plucking guys from other teams who all want to join up together, play with their buddies. The fact this failed to the level it did, Gordon, do you think that other teams are going to be more reluctant to follow suit the same way?
No. And the reason why I feel that way is, well, a couple things. A, you already had the report from Woj. Half the teams in the league are falling all over themselves to now go get Kevin Durant.
Well, that's now, one guy.
Right, that's one guy. But, I mean, does anybody really learn? I mean, the lessons learned from the Brooklyn Nets' spectacular failure is, as you mentioned, is that the ends can't justify the means. Right, like, you still have to have an organization in place. You can't. This is not the self checkout at Costco, right? Like, you have to actually have people in place where they're making the decisions. The talent is the talent, and you certainly take the input of the talent. But the talent can't be the management. The talent can't be the ownership. I would like to think that people will learn their lessons from this, and they won't make the same mistakes. But I get the feeling like even now, if you gave certain teams around the league the chance, hey, you know what? You can add these two superstars. Now, you're going to have to turn over the direction of the organization to them. But this time, people will delude themselves. Now, it'll be different with us now. You know, it'll be different with Kyrie Irving here. It'll be different with Kevin Durant here. I don't believe that for a second that teams have learned their lesson. Smart teams have. You know, I'd be surprised if the Miami Heat ever did this because they have an actual culture and they've had actual success. But teams that have had none of that, I don't think that they would learn their lesson from this at all.
Well, I don't know if, like you mentioned Miami Heat with the culture. Is it really Heat culture? Like, that to me is a bunch of garbage, only because, you know, when you're selling perfect weather 365 days a year, no state taxes, all that stuff, you know what? It's really easy to open up the doors and say, hey, wouldn't you want to come play here? I don't know if it's so much about team culture. Miami kind of sells itself, don't you think?
But I mean, they have Pat Riley there. He's not going to just, you know, roll over and let people just do whatever they want.
But could Pat Riley recruit if he was running, let's say, the Minnesota Timberwolves and said, here, come play in snow?
No, I mean, he picked a smart place to go.
Yeah.
There's no question that he has some benefits, and that's one of the teams that guys are going to want to go to because of the location and the taxes and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, there is a boss in charge. There is someone who is going to say no, and we'll do what's best for our organization, and Pat Riley or Spoelstra or all those people, you know, they have something there. There's other teams around the league that they don't have that. And they would be, hey, we can all of a sudden put ourselves on the map of the NBA by going and getting these two guys, and we got to do the A, B, C to get them to come here. It would not shock me if teams would be willing to do that even right now, some teams around the league, knowing even now what we know.
You know what's great? Think about, like, and we've barely even talked about the Knicks today. Right, we thought that this was going to be all about the Knicks once free agency started and the Brunson and all that, and we'll get to it, of course, here. But you think about what happened yesterday and these events. The Knicks got better on two fronts when you think about it. Okay, Brunson, he's an improvement on their team. He's a talented player you bring onto your roster. And if you're the Knicks and you think about, okay, how do we get back to where we were, let's say even a couple of years ago or where we intend to go, you have to pass a lot of teams up the ladder in the Eastern Conference. Well, guess what? Thanks to KD and Kyrie about to jump ship, the Nets now become one of those teams that are going to fall right back down that the Knicks are going to leapfrog. So the Knicks accomplished two tasks. They're now better than at least one more team in the Eastern Conference.
Well, we hope so. Let's wait until we find out what we get in that return for Kevin Durant. Well, let's hope so.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.